you should go out and find out exactly what Tom's about. I'm sure Chris has heard of Tom, haven't you, Chris?
Yes, I have.
You know, Tom, I mean, Chris, you know, like when I'm doing this stuff here, I mean, I'm not the kind of guy. I don't worry about what people think about me, and I'm the kind of guy that just, you know, I don't care about other stuff like that. It's nonsense. And what's happened over time is they've made Americans through media, through very powerful efforts of mind control, social mind control, into a bunch of neurotics. Where there's nearly a person in America can walk by a store window without looking themselves up and down and feeling bad or good about them. I mean, they're just all up inside their heads, and it's just an awful sight to see.
Well, I think we have to be careful not to lay the blame for all problems of modern society at the hands of the Zionists, because that gives them too much power. But I think they have intended to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we want to overcome some of those problems, we have to take some personal responsibility and look at some of the phenomenological causes in our modern lives that result in it. You can't put everything at their doorstep, or you'll never be able to solve the problems. If they were to disappear tomorrow, we'd still have problems.
Well, you're right, and you're right about that. But I mean, when you're starting to push people into metrosexual kind of thinking, where men are women and women are men, and
again, this has deep historic roots. In the ancient Jewish temples, they used to use homosexuals at the gates to lure people into orgies in order to proselytize to them. These things that seem to us so modern and so new have deep, deep ancient roots. And they did it to the Romans, too, and they had a terrible, terrible standard that no one in the regions of the city where they lived or in Israel could practice their own religions, and yet they claimed the right of religious freedom for themselves. It was always a double standard, and they utilized their wealth to corrupt the Roman government. And much of what we think of as new is very, very old. So they're good at it.
Where does this come from? Where do you get this information?
Oh, from the ancient historians and from the Bible.
Wow, man.
I don't think this knowledge is as obscure among people as you may think. And I think one of the reasons it seems obscure to many people is that it's well known in the religious community, but not well known in the secular community.
Well, are you tipping your hand and saying that you're from the religious community?
No, actually,
no.
I'm not religious at all.
Well, me neither. I mean, I have faith, but it's not the kind of that everybody else seems to have, apparently. But I have faith in the good works of righteous men and women around me, and I've seen good works, I've seen kind people, and I've also seen some really nasty works and terrible people. But you also
have to realize that the Christian community is deeply tied into the Jewish community in terms of the belief system. So they don't want to dispel the mythologies of the Old Testament, because in so doing they would dispel their own mythologies. And that's been a serious problem throughout history. And I personally think that Christianity may have been a stumbling stone thrown on the path of the Romans to gain revenge for the destruction of Jerusalem. And there's a lot of good evidence that supports that conclusion. And Disraeli boasted about that very fact, that in Rome, they made Rome the capital where a Jewish god is worshipped, a Jewish son is worshipped, and a Jewish mother is worshipped, and Roman gods are spat upon. So you got to admire them for being able to accomplish that feat. And there's a lot that can be learned. Jews have done many wonderful things throughout history. They've been very charitable to their own people. They have wonderful camaraderie, and there are many virtues of Jewish culture that should be emulated. And by emulating those in our own cultures, the good things, not the bad things that they try to throw in our path, we can learn from them and eventually overcome their influence, political influence.
I think that's a hopeful sign. We've got a call from Paul in New York. Paul, you're on the air with Chris and Daryl Bradford Smith. You got a question?
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Paul.
You know, it's good to listen to a expatriate New Yorker. I think we come from some of the same stomping grounds. I'm a graduate of NYU.
You really are.
Yeah, we're about the same age, and I'm a jazz player, and live in Tribeca. Watched the whole thing come down around my ears on 9/11.
No, boy.
But, you know, there has to be a fundamental shift in the way the American people relate to and demand accountability from their public servants. And when criminals and psychopaths infest the body politic, as they have in the past four Republican administrations, the Congress has to refuse to allow presidential pardons of GOP thugs to be the means of providing closure for their crimes. And today we see the same type of mentality exhibited in those who support the Bush crime gang as we did in those who supported the wholesale bloodletting in Vietnam. And if the anti-war movement had not inspired and precipitated general outrage in the American people in the 60s and 70s, you know, these vampires may have kept us there for another 10 years, resulting in 60,000 more body bags coming home and another million dead Vietnamese. And when the anti-war movement was vindicated finally and Nixon booted out on his ass, we thought these filthy, blood-sucking ghouls had been driven back in their holes for good. But now they're back, and the same filthy, calculating hypocrites, cowards, phonies, and fascists who shirked their duties then while others had to take their place in battle, like Cheney and Pills Limbaugh and the Bugman Delay and the whole filthy, sinister cabal of warmongering filth, have sunk other people's kids deeply in the quagmire of Iraq now that we will not be able to get out of for a long time.
Well, let me interject here, Paul. Let me say this. In the larger scheme of things, and what Chris and I are talking about, the 50,000 that died in Vietnam, while it was a terrible loss for America, when you take a look at the last century and how many people died at the hands of Zionism, let's just talk about the Bolshevik issue when they tried to purge Russia and they were successful. Stalin had in the Caucasus and in the southern regions, he killed approximately between 22 and 30 million to stop that area from uprising. He just killed them wholesale, Christians, in fact. And then you can talk about another 57 million killed in World War II, another 22 million in World War I. And when you look at the grand total here, we're talking close to 100 million people. So to talk about what these little, you know, henchmen for the Zionists have done, in Vietnam and in Iraq, it's almost small potatoes. And that's not to be insulting anybody who lost their lives, because my father died in the military. And I'm a disabled vet myself. So the facts are, I to get behind the issues, we have to really go to where the roots are.
I agree wholeheartedly. And you know, it's interesting because of this precipitous decline of the Butcher of Beirut. It really does lead one to contemplate if there is more to his condition than meets the eye. I mean, you know, the American Taliban here, these deranged psychopaths and the spawn of Satan, Pat Robertson, has attributed Sharon's malady to divine intervention. And this leads one to infer, in fact, that perhaps there is some intervention at work here, but it's far from divine at its source, that's for sure.
Thanks, Paul, and keep on listening, my friend. Spread the word in New York, will you?
You betcha. Take care, Gerald. Keep up the good work, buddy.
Thank you. And Chris, we're gonna hold you over, I hope. And we got more from Chris to come in French Connection, ladies and gentlemen. Darrell Bradford Smith coming right back at you. And ladies and gentlemen, great back down. And when we come back, we're back right now, and we've got Chris with us on the French Connection today. I've been talking with Chris on email, and he's been calling the show, and I'm very grateful for his help and in his history lessons. I want to talk a little bit about the history maybe that I just kind of spoke about here. The fact was that all of those things were actually orchestrated with the acquiescence of the American government, the Stalin purges and giving up of all of this stuff. I mean, we had Roosevelt intimately involved in either turning a blind eye or even giving over a lot of this stuff to these people. And then through the 50s and 60s and 70s, we had a guy named Armin Hammer going back and forth to Moscow with technology, giving them computer technology of ours and keeping them up to our level to keep this false Race Alive, and I mean, this has gone behind the scenes for a long time, hasn't it, Chris?
And isn't it strange that Roosevelt did nothing to curtail the spread of communism after the Second World War? Well, Truman.
That's right. And then didn't they kill Patton because he was speaking out against that, wasn't he?
That I don't know about. I haven't researched that. So
they drove a truck over General Patton because he wanted those commies to be eliminated.
Well, I think Nazism itself may have been a stalking horse for communism. Hitler was initially a Bolshevist. I think he marched in the funeral procession of Kurt Eisner, and shortly after that he switched over. But even the Nazi Party itself, National Socialist German Workers' Party, was itself considered, in England especially, considered to be a communist party right up until the war began. So the way that communists work is they try to weaken the structures of society so that they can create a revolution. And the Nazis always promoted themselves as revolutionaries and socialists. And they wanted to eliminate private property. They wanted to eliminate the class structure so that everyone was of the same social class. All the tenets of communism were the party line also of the Nazis.
And in other words, what's happening in America right now? They're getting rid of the middle class. They're going to have us all one lower middle or upper low class, and they're confiscating property, and they're getting rid of property rights, and it's almost a carbon copy of what's happened in the past, isn't it?
It's very similar to what happened to the Russian people, which is what I would like to caution people about. And there were three historic revolutions that are very important to understanding what's going on. The Russian Revolution is one, the French Revolution is another, and the English Revolution is the third. And in each of these, there was a common pattern where liberalism, the idea of liberty, equality, and fraternity, was put forward to give people equal status under the law and to eliminate the monarchies, which were the only thing that could oppose their power. And once they instigated a revolution, things were chaotic, and then they would proclaim, well, since things are chaotic, we need a dictator to restore order. And that happened in each of those three revolutions. And it's kind of happening here in America, where Bush is asserting himself as sort of a dictator, where we have this situation where terrorism is used to impose a mythology that we're in a chaotic world and we need a dictator and a police state to restore order. And it's very dangerous, and I think people should be much more sensitive to it than they are.
Well, I tell you something. I think we're in a very late hour, and I think that they're going to use this. And this bird flu, by the way, is coming. Now, how it's going to show itself is anybody's guess, but and if whether it was made in a laboratory or in nature is also anyone's guess, but they're also opportunists, these folks. They assess situations around them and use them to their advantage better than just about anybody, don't they?
Yes, and I think if the bird flu doesn't hit us, and I hope that it doesn't, then it'll be an economic crisis.
Well,
they drained the wealth out of Russia and then shut off the czar to gaining the money markets. That's why Russia, the huge nation, was so easily defeated. And when the Bolsheviks took over Russia, they sucked all the wealth out of Russia, just as they had sucked all the wealth out of France. After the French Revolution, the Rothschilds were caught again and again smelting gold and pulling it out of France and sending it to Frankfurt, Germany. And that's the reason that the French Catholics became so anti-Semitic that towards the end of the 1800s, we had the terrible Dreyfus Affair, because there were very, very few Jews in France when the French Revolution happened. I think it was between 500 and 1,500 in Paris. And these bankers were just sucking the wealth out of these nations and threatening them that if they didn't fight wars, their economies would be crushed and they'd have other nations attack them and they'd have no access to the money markets. That's the way they gained control over these governments, was to run them into debts with wars, and to they could ensure that whatever nation they wanted to win would win by drawing them into the war and then cutting off their funds. War very much depends on money, and people think that governments can just print money to pay for their wars, but it's not so.
Well, it isn't so, and it's not so in the case of the United States.
That's what worries me, is we're getting drawn into that same process, that we're running ourselves deeper and deeper into debt.
I don't think we're drawn into it. I think it's designed. We're being designed into it.
Yes.
You see, because I think from the people in charge right now were not elected. They were installed, so we had a coup. They've been helping this coup d'etat to take place for over a long period of time, until these last two elections were just completely stolen. And now we're in a situation now where they're even going to get rid of the only real measure of just how bad the finances are, which is the M3. So we're not even going to be able to take a look at just how much money is being printed. And we're looking at a collapse coming, and it's going to make 1930s look like a walk in the park, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I hope not. But the signs are there, and it's following the exact pattern that the Rothschilds used to destroy nations in the 1800s and early 1900s, and really throughout the 20th century as well. We're falling into that pattern, and we should be aware of it and take control of the situation for ourselves. We can't just criticize them for what they're doing. We need to formulate systems whereby we can gain control over the situation and rectify it. It's not hopeless.
How do I protect myself so I can continue my message, Chris? I mean, listen. I mean, I'm just some guy, man. And I'll tell you something: the heat's getting turned up on me, and they're wrecking my website. They're starting to mess with my life in general. And really, the message is what's important here, because I'm trying to inform people, and yet the battle rages, and I've got no assistance. I've got Eric Huffschmidt and me, and that's basically the operation, and it is fraying at the edges. Financially, it's fraying terrible. Because, you know, I put the long distance phone bills trying to find guests, and even with, you know, a calling plan that I've got an ISDN line that I have to pay for that, it's worthless at the moment, but, and all this other stuff, and people don't understand, it's not a lot of money, but cripes, you know, $500 to me is a whole lot of money. You know what I mean, Chris?
Yeah. I think there are ways out of it. I don't know if we should discuss it on the public airways, but I think there are ways out of it.
Well, I would hope so. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back. And, Renee, I didn't forget about you. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we have more from Chris. This is a great hour. I'm just so surprised, so happy you got on the phone with me, Chris, when we come back. Smith with my friend Chris from the Chicago area. I'm going to go right to the calls here, Chris. Renee, you got a quick question for Christopher?
Not really a question. I want to thank Paul for calling in. I tell you what, he was articulate and passionate, and I really got a kick out of his call. The thing is, church and state, the king and the priest, have worked together in collusion to calm and control the people for thousands of years. And the thing is, it's still going on today. That's why, like I said, I have no problem with God or the teachings of Jesus. But, you know, they want us to think that church and state are the same as God and country, and they are not. Church and state are institutions made up of men, often corrupt men. And so the thing is that with the church is still at it, because I was so glad that Paul pointed out about the war in Vietnam. They had on the History Channel last night Lenin Unclassified, about John Lennon. And that show proved how the FBI was after these peaceniks, okay, and spying on them, and it's true. It has turned out, history has proven, that the peaceniks were right. And the thing is, but you see the church, do you see the church backing that up? No.
Well, let me interject here, because I got to tell you, if you take a look, though, Renee, and this is where Chris and I have been really batting the ball back and forth, these are side issues to the real issue in the world. The real issue in the world is that there is a single force that has so much financial clout, so much power, so much strength, that they can assert themselves and assert themselves within countries to take down any nation, whether it be born from a democracy, a republic, a despotic situation, doesn't matter. And they can insert themselves into religions, into regions, into businesses, and they transcend time and money and everything. And the fact is that those other issues are really superfluous when you talk about these people's power. I really believe.
Well, the thing is, you have to have collusion with these people. It's the same thing. That's kind of like, in other words, you have to play along. In other words, we have people that are beneath them in the pecking order that are playing along. It's kind of like the same thing as Congress blaming the lobbyists. Well, it's like the lobbyists can dangle the money, but you don't have to take it. We have a lot of people that are in collusion, and the church is going along. When they do stuff like they always promote the fantasy 50s, the good old days that never existed, okay? But people are remembering those days, what I call childhood fantasy America. But I can give you instances of stuff that went on to that time that is just as bad today. I remember sitting in a theater as a child and a man coming up to me in the theater sitting next to me and starting to rub my leg. Okay? So I remember there was a little convent of little gray nuns that disappeared in the middle of the night when I was a child because they'd been running a black market baby ring. A lot of the Christian right in particular thinks that America was like Ozzie and Harriet and Andy of Mayberry, and this is not true. And because the pastors have held up this fantasy 50s America and they have demonized the 60s. We need more of those people like in the 60s. We need them. We need them now.
I'm gonna give Chris a chance to answer that. Thanks, Renee, for your call.
Okay.
I appreciate it every time. You know, Chris, we're looking at ways of raising the consciousness here, raising these issues above the radar so that people can start wrapping themselves around it. I don't know if America is going to have the courage to face it. I haven't seen any indications that we have a courageous society. In fact, I've seen quite the opposite to be true. However, there are some courageous people out there. I don't know if we're going to get the traction. What do you see as a going forward in this? And I don't see that we've got the gumption and the wherewithal here to do this. What do you suggest to get this consciousness risen?
It depends absolutely on free speech, and our free speech rights are very much under attack, and people should be aware of that and resist it. Strongly, strongly, strongly. And they're always going to use monsters who say hateful and stupid things to try to vilify free speech, and we have to really strongly resist that.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with people or families that are worth hundreds of trillions of dollars, it ain't going to be easy. And it depends upon free speech, but it also, I agree with much of what Renee said, and I think we should mention that millions, if the Pentagon is telling the truth, millions of Vietnamese were killed, which is a substantial number, and it also
yeah.
led into the terrible genocides in Cambodia.
Yes, it did.
And
yes,
the church was involved in that, too. If I recall correctly, one of the reasons we got involved in Vietnam was because Din, or I forget his name, was a Catholic. And I think Kennedy and others had a sympathetic relationship with that. The other thing was the tin mines. There was a lot going on. But as you say, that was a minor thing, and it was part of this perpetual war that the United States has been in for a very long time now, and it seems to be continuing. And I think we do need an anti-war movement, and I think the anti-war movement should focus on humanitarian issues and also on financial issues because they're interrelated. And
yeah.
people have to realize that we're bankrupting ourselves. If we continue down this path, our manufacturing base and our educational base will be destroyed. Well,
you
know,
it has been 13% of our GDP now. We used to have 54% of the world's GDP just 60 years ago. And now, right now, we have less than 20. And the simple truth of the matter is, and dropping like a stone. And most of what we do produce is not world class. And the only reason we got 20% consumption is because Americans are buying their own products, but that's quickly stopping as well.
And it will stop as the Chinese improve with state-of-the-art manufacturing capital. That's, remember, the Japanese products used to be junk.
That's right.
But they, when they built up their manufacturing base, they did it with brand-new capital, whereas the British had captured German and captured Japanese old technology manufacturing capital, and that's what buried the British. Well, the Germans and the Japanese economies grew very quickly because they had state-of-the-art capital, and that's...
Well, that capital was provided by these same forces.
Absolutely, and that's another thing I'd like to mention is it's a myth that Hitler was a great economist and that the German economy and fascism produces wonderful economic results.
Yeah, he had a spigot of money that was coming in like...
Absolutely.
And then what was his repayment? That he was to confiscate gold and monies from all the surrounding nations, which he did, and funneled that back as repayment.
Same thing happened with the Bolsheviks. They got all kinds of money from Jewish financiers, and then they sucked all the wealth out of Russia and sent it back.
And they got 10 times on their money, didn't they?
Absolutely.
Well, we got another segment in the can, and we got more coming here, Chris. Boy, you are just a wealth. I love this show. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we've got more questions, and Tony, you're up just in a minute. And Dave, why don't you give me a call back there, David? In a minute, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Scotch and soda. But in your eye. Baby, do I feel high?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Daryl Bradford Smith, French Connection, direct and live from Central France. Tony, you got a question for Chris today?
A comment and a question. First, I want to say it's always an honor to talk to you here, Daryl, hero of mine. I'm a devout Christian here in the heart of the South and everything else, and we're not just a bunch of mindless robots, and Pat Robertson speaks, and we all fall into line. I do have a devout faith in God, and we do lift up your family in prayer, Daryl. You are a hero to me, and I try to make as many people aware of your program as possible. And
thank you, my friend. I appreciate that very much. Well, what's your question for us tonight?
Well, I think you guys first, if I could, too, we visit your site almost daily, and I hope that anyone that does, we try to donate when we can, and just even if half the number of downloads I hear you and Eric are getting, you mention them and stuff, when people just give a dollar, it would I just can't imagine that should take care of problems. People just
well, that's
need
what
to give.
I'm only want a dollar. I don't want more than that. Because
right.
You know, after that's paid for, then the other thing we wanted to do is a couple of banner ads on a few websites to put the French Connection out there, and maybe spend $100 or $200 to get our message out on some mainstream websites.
Yes.
Until they realize who they're advertising for.
Well, again, and that's why I pray that more and more people will do that. But people are waking up. And just to come on to Chris and what you're saying, I think Chris nailed it. Because they are playing a plan, a map that they had laid out. They've played that same game plan over and over again, and it's unfolding. Just the demographics here in the United States are a little different. They're unfolding the same plan. When Bush came out, when I became mega suspicious of him, was when he came out with, after 9/11, I began to wake up, then see the Office of Homeland Security, knowing him. I'm only 38, but knowing history as I do, I'm thinking this is a joke, right? You cannot be taught. This was Hitler. I knew it right from the get-go. This was the Reich Security, Office of Reich Security, and that began to wake me up. And I've got friends in the military, Nellis and Nevada and different places, Area 51, and they began to wake up. There's more people waking up, I think, than you realize. And but just to go back to Chris and history, they are using the United States right now. They want to use us as the military hammer, but once that is expunged, just like Hitler, they will implode the United States economy via whatever. They're going to do a terror attack to get and why I say it's imperative. They're ratcheting up Iran. Everybody has to be all over Fox News the last few days. I can't even stomach watching it, but I do just to be aware of what's going on. We're getting all these emails. America wants an attack on Iran. America senses that this is a danger. That's a lie. America's in the polls when our troops home from Iraq. But they're ratcheting up the propaganda, but they're probably going to need a terror attack here at home to get the popular support. So what I say to the people is, and I want to ask yours and Chris's opinion on this, but what I say to the people is go to your website, support it quickly, but they've got to start downloading. Yours and about two other programs are, to me, just irreplaceable. People have got to go there, download these resources, copy them, and start handing them out while you can, because when they do the next terror attack, they are going to declare martial law, and these websites' access will be cut off. And if people take you for granted, Daryl, there'll be a day they're going to wake up, you and a few others, and they're going to wish to God they had done what they could have when they could have. And but this Iran thing is weeks away. They're not going to. My sources, I got very limited sources in the military, but the things they're hearing are late March, and this thing is probably a go. But for them to get late March, they may need a terror attack in February, if you know how they'll fake another one. And we've got to wake up that the United States will be used, just like Hitler was used, to smash certain other countries that are the last little strongholds of freedom. Then they're going to implode our economy, and the United States will be cut up like a pizza.
You're 100%. I got nothing to argue. Right. Nothing to argue with there. What do you think, Chris? Nothing to argue. Thanks. I appreciate
God bless
that, Tony.
You guys. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Chris, you wanna add any caveats to that?
Oh, I think he's very right. I would agree with that. And that's
as painful as that just was to listen to, he's right on the money. I'd place a bet on that one. And you know what? His timeline seems about right to me, too. And, you know, it's going to come in these multifaceted I think there's several things going to happen at once. It's going to be like the perfect storm. We've got this bird flu happening, and it's killing things. And then we've got the Iran invasion on the table. And there may be a couple more small terrorist things happening. And bingo and presto changeo, martial law. They're already knocking me off the air. My website's starting to be just destroyed. So his suggestion that you take my downloads, you better get them. Anybody out there, tell everybody to download my shows and send them everywhere, because I got news for you. They are going to disappear when the next hit comes. What do you think of that one, Chris?
Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to suggest to you, is that redundancy is one way of protecting ourselves. So that if one site gets knocked down, we have redundancy, and even if it's simply files on a CD that can be replicated and passed around, I think it's very important, and I think it's a security measure.
Well, it's called mirroring, and we can do it. It's one of the things I want to talk to you about later. The facts are that these folks, one of the things that we have as an advantage is that, you know, they're kind of like the giant whale shark. They're kind of just gliding through the ocean, and if we really want to hit them hard, they're slow to move. They're pretty
they're
devastating.
They're also not
yeah.
overly bright. I think people give them a lot of credit because they have a lot of money to buy smart people, but they themselves are kind of arrogant, kind of lazy, and not overly bright. They are very, very powerful. I don't think people realize how much power money can buy. When you can control the press and the government, that's power.
Yeah, it is. Well, when we come back, I want to ask you a couple of questions about what kind of power structure I'm being able to generate here and how I can magnify that. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, more from Christopher and Daryl Bradford Smith.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
Last segment here. We've only got a few minutes left with my guest today, Christopher from Chicago. I couldn't do this fight, Chris, without my wife. And, you know, she loves me, and I know she loves me because she lets me smoke cigars in the house. It's actually true, you know. I mean, your wife has to love you to let you smoke cigars in the house. That's true love, you know.
Absolutely. And the car is even more significant. If she'll let you smoke in the car, then you know you got a good one.
If you heard me say that, I'd be getting a frying pan on my head. But listen, you know, this whole mess, how am I doing it? How am I doing out there? I don't see the great numbers. I see some decent growth. I mean, But I don't see near quickly enough. I don't see it coming as fast as it needs to, because this other stuff that Tony just described and that you and I both know is on its way is going to happen soon, and I fear we're not going to get there in time. That's the thing. And I mean, give me some time. I get us there, but I don't think we're going to generate it in time. What can we do to turn this up, Chris?
Well, one problem is there's so much noise out there, people don't know what to listen to.
Yeah.
So I think your plan of getting donations and word of mouth is very good. What would be even better would be advertising.
That's right.
And I don't know whether or not you've contacted other sites and asked them to do cross-posting, but you're going to have a difficult time, as you know, that you don't want to destroy your credibility by cross-posting with sites that represent beliefs you don't believe in.
Well, that's right, and the worst thing is nobody's ever offered. The fact is, Eric and I constantly are amazed that we're standing out here and alone. And some of the sites that I do trust are fearful, and one of them that's been a mainstay for me, whatreallyhappened.com, of course, he's under massive amounts of pressure. I said, have you ever been threatened? He goes, well, I was sleeping with a gun under my pillow. But he says, right now, I've moved it to the nightstand. So apparently, you know, he's this is a tough racket we're in, man. I got to tell you, I didn't sign up for this. I've only been doing this 1 year next week, you know.
Really?
1 year next week, yeah. And my 1 year anniversary is next week.
What got you going on?
I was just livid when I saw what happened in the election, and I started calling around, and I found a spot. They didn't know what they were signing up for, but John Stadtmiller said, yeah, you want to do an hour show? And the next thing, it was 2 hours, and then the next thing you know, here we are. Here we are.
Well, you have a very good radio voice, and you're very charismatic.
Well, I thank you for that. I it's not something I've cultivated, and it's certainly not something that I had figured going into this. All I was angry, and I'm a quick study, so I took my anger and my quick study nature, and I put it to work for myself. And I'm also a natural skeptic. I don't trust anybody, and I'm not afraid to tell somebody to go pound sand in their ear. And believe me, I've told more than just a few people to do that. And to my detriment in many cases. Trust me on that. Well, Christopher, you know, you got the number. Give me a ring. I'll be waiting for the call.
Okay, sir, I will.
All right, well, I'll be here waiting for it right after the show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening in on this Friday the 13th. I don't believe in that nonsense, by the way, so don't you either. Don't buy into the silliness. Stick with the French Connection. We'll give you the real deal. Next week, ladies and gentlemen. Bye-bye now.